Hello, hello, hello. Welcome, everybody, to the last phone meeting on this particular integrity cleanse. Been loving your feedback on Facebook, and, you know, it's so much fun talking with my coaches and my buddies who are all obsessed with this stuff about all the very valid and intricate questions that come from different people's life situations. It's a fascinating world in which to rediscover one's integrity. By rediscover, I mean that there's a part of us that never forgets what the truth is for us, and then there's a part that forgets completely. And it's almost the game of life, the game of awakening, is, it seems to be, the ability to spot the places where we've forgotten where we are, but we know. So there's this feeling of having forgotten. There's this feeling of something nagging, like there's something wrong. And then finding a way to navigate back into what we always knew in our hearts. And that process happens over and over and over. So I was just saying to my fabulous wing woman, Bridget Boudreau. Hey, Bridget.
Hello.
I was just saying, you know, I feel like, oh, we've got an hour and a half, and I have to make sure everybody's lives are perfect forever from going on from this moment. And she slapped me around and told me I was lying, and she's right.
Yeah, that's how it went down.
All of which is just to say, this is an ongoing process, and I doubt that anyone who hasn't had a major event, like enlightenment event, like Byron Katie or Eckhart Tolle, could go completely into pure integrity in 5 weeks, like into absolute integrity. It's amazing how fast it does start to clear the schmutz out of your life. But life goes on, and integrity is not an object. It's a flow. It's not a rock. It's a river. And if you think that you're going to grab integrity one time and then be fine forevermore, you're missing the ongoing play of life. The only time that would happen, that you'd get the truth and be good for the rest of your life, is that it happens as you die. And who knows? Maybe it does. So, Bridget, have you been going along with the integrity cleanse? Have you been doing the exercises? Did you do the house metaphor exercise that began the course?
No, I didn't do it this time. I did it last time, and then I moved.
Right, so you were in the middle of moving.
Yeah, so it's sort of a constant. You know what's really interesting about that? So the first, well, anyway, I don't want to sidetrack things, but just really quickly, my house was too small was the big thing before, so we moved. Now the house is so big that it's all about large expression, like, you know, all the colors, the furniture has to be bigger, the colors brighter, that everything, otherwise it just falls flat. So it's been very immediate and interesting for me to see that now it's just all about huge expression, as big as I can possibly make it.
So this is a case in point about how the integrity cleanse goes on. You guys have these materials, and they're not designed to just be used once. They're designed to be used over and over and over, because your life keeps opening like a rose blooming. And as each level opens and you get deeper levels of integrity, there's more beauty and more joy. So what happened to Bridget, this metaphorically, it is a metaphor, but it's also incredibly accurate. So she did the integrity cleanse, and her big thing, her house was in order. She's a very tidy person, but it wasn't big enough. It didn't feel big enough for her integrity. So that wasn't a lie, per se. It was nothing she was doing wrong. It's just that there was a part of her that was remembering itself that wanted more expansiveness. So she moved into integrity and bought another house, which was, you know, that takes a lot of guts to uproot from one space and go into another, and a lot of people delay it for a long time. Bridget jumped based on the strong feeling that it wasn't big enough, and now the space that is opened up by her act of integrity is pulling through her things that are made of beauty and color and size, and it's not that she's exchanging truth or lies for the truth anymore. It's that she's exchanging the truth of, this is all my life should be. Sorry, that actually is a lie. This is all my life should be. She's exchanging that for the truth of, oh my goodness, my life is meant to be so much more. It's meant to be bigger and more colorful and more joyful and more expressive. So that was a blind spot, the part of her that said, you know, my life, this is the way my life is supposed to be. It's just an assumption. She didn't even have, she probably didn't even have those words in her mind. She just had a lived assumption that she was in the place where she was supposed to be, and it wasn't true. So as she moved into integrity, new things began to reveal themselves. And as you use these steps over and over again, first you get rid of more and more layers of crap, and then you start opening to deeper and deeper levels of beauty, creativity, self-expression, love, companionship. It just becomes a joyride at a certain point. Now, at any given day, things can go sideways. Things can get messy. Like when I first did my integrity cleanse, like every single part of my house was immaculate. By the time I was a week in, I was so fired up about it, and my body wanted to clean my house, and it was spick and span. I've had a really busy time lately, and now I'm sitting in my walk-in closet, which is where I do all my broadcasting, because the clothes act like acoustic sound barriers. And so if you ever want a picture where I am, I'm in a closet. No puns about me being gay, please. They're just too obvious. But I'm sitting here, and there's a box on the ground that has in it some things from last Christmas, either that I got as gifts and didn't end up giving, or that someone gave me and they're neat, but I don't really want them. And I haven't cleaned up that box. So I'm allowing things to pile up again. Time for a new integrity cleanse. The shoes aren't all stacked in order. A day ago, that just matched my state of mind. Now I want to clean it up again. I'm talking about little details, but I hope you're getting the metaphor that you can get yourself perfectly in integrity and everything's clean inside, and then the next day something gets messed up. That's the process of discovery. That's the process of living life on this particular planet as these points of consciousness. So before I do any coaching today, I really want to go over the whole course, and I'd love you to internalize this, keep the materials, but just when things feel out of joint and you don't know why, you can go back to the materials and do the same exercises again. And from my perspective, they always work. I use the house exercise over and over and over and over on myself. That's why I gave it to you. So let's just go back and reprise the steps you can take to keep yourself opening to deeper and more beautiful levels of integrity. So the first unit was about getting clean inside your own mind, cleaning house inside. So if you get to full integrity, that means you are always doing, saying, and even thinking only the things that are true for you. And that's when everything stays clean. Now, Bridget was telling me, what were you saying, Bridget, that a lot of people were just talking about cooperating with a social system and speaking the truth to power, but not...
Well, my thought was the way that I was looking at it is that people were conflating their own integrity, their own internal integrity, and making that mean that they must always express that to another person or system, even if that system or person isn't able to hear that or hold that. So, like, always saying your truth to a sociopath or always saying your truth to an educational system that doesn't understand your child or something like that.
Right. Okay, so that's what we were talking about. See, here's a place where things could get messed up, and it's not because you knowingly lie. It's because you're still making assumptions. For example, integrity means always never hiding anything from anyone, always blurting every secret you have to everyone. Like I was talking about how I would go with my daughter, who was brilliant but did not like school. She's just not made for that system. And we'd go to these parent-teacher conferences, and she could be – one of my daughter's amazing attributes is she's the most honest person I know. I mean, she just flat out says what she means. She is incorruptible. She won't sway from her truth. And she got a lot of trouble with that in in like junior high, and we'd go into teacher conferences, and I'd say to her, listen, if we go in there and blast the teacher with a lot of arguments, we're in for a battle, and that might be the right thing to do sometimes. Or maybe, we went to this wonderful woman named Kathy Colby. Some of you who've studied cognitive styles know this woman. She had terrible dyslexia, and she was very brilliant. And her father actually designed intelligence tests, but because of her dyslexia, she couldn't pass them and get her father's approval. So what she learned to do and what she does now as an adult, and she's made an incredible, huge, wonderful, successful company out of this, is she advises people when their truth is out of alignment with the system that's pressing on them. So she works a lot with children. And she said to my daughter, you're going to go in there and you're going to say three things to the teacher at the beginning that are true about what interests you about the class. And then you're going to sit down and you're going to draw. And if they say, if they ask you what you're doing, you're going to say you're taking notes. And I was like, what? That's not truthful. And she said, you know, if you're in a system that is putting so much pressure on you, that is in power, it's the extreme again, is like the Nazis in Germany. After my year of never telling a lie, I decided that I would go on never telling a lie with one exception. And that was that if I was in a system that was evil and inimical to truth, like if I were hiding Jews in the basement and the Gestapo came to my door and said, are you hiding Jews in the basement? I would say no. And I would feel my own integrity in the saying no. So this can look like a loophole that could let you lie and say, well, I was just protecting my spouse by not telling him or her about my multiple affairs. I've heard that a lot from clients, by the way. That's not integrity. That is, what's the word, Bridget? Bullshit. Yeah, that was the word.
I think that's the word.
Yeah. When you say, I'm just protecting others by lying. Whoa! Feel inside yourself. That will not feel peaceful. It will not feel clean. Now, if you're going to do that and tell me that you feel clean, that's okay. It's none of my business. I'm just trying to tell you what made me happy. And what made me happy was learning to connect with my own truth inside myself and to hold to it regardless of social pressures. So there's a really key basic philosophical premise at the root of everything we're talking about. And it is this: the truth sets you free, so if it doesn't set you free, it's not the truth. And that means you are evaluating truth and falsehood from a completely different perspective than the mind, the socialized mind. So I'm going to go back to my example of having a son with Down syndrome. You know, people told me, he can't do as much, he's going to be discriminated against, he's going to be mocked and laughed at and, you know, persecuted, and that's the truth. And I had to go inside myself and say, but that feels horrible to me. But when I think to myself something like, he brings a presence with him that infects other people with angels the way a dog infects people with fleas, that he is like a conduit from some spiritual world without the same blinders that I have, when I got to this definition of my son, my whole being went still. And it was this feeling of relief. And it wasn't because, this is the key thing, you guys, it's not because I told myself a bunch of happy crap. Positive thinking, that's a lie. I tried that one. Every day and every way I'm getting better and better. That made me want to kill myself. It would make me feel really manic for about an hour, and then I would want to, like, go into the corner and stab myself with a crab fork repeatedly. When I was lying to myself, it didn't feel good, even if it was happy crap. But when I found the truth, even though it was totally outside anything I'd ever heard anyone say, I found peace. And suffering in this, from this perspective, is always the friend and ally that says to you, you are believing something that is not true. All emotional suffering comes from believing something that is not true. So how do you know? Some people ask, well, how do I know where my blind spots are? You can do the house exercise. You'll find a nice little mess wherever it reflects your inner blind spots. But I think Rachel asked some really good questions online about how to stay grounded and steer as you go through and try to be in perfect integrity. And the absolute, how can I even express this? Your best friend in the world is emotional suffering. Because emotional suffering is like a huge red flag, and the red flag has one thing written on it. What you believe is not true. And this is not a mental exercise. What you believe might appear rationally true. And because the mind is projecting its own meanings onto things, you'll be able to prove over and over. If you really believe that everybody hates you, you will find a way to make it true. You'll imagine it where it's not there, and then you'll act in such a way that you create it, and it will be true for you. I remember when I was in graduate school, there were some really, really radical feminists, like people who thought literally we should abort male fetuses because they're just a pox on society. These people were quite radical. And everyone treated them in ways that were sexist. And I would see it and I would realize that's true for them. But nobody treated me that way. I didn't feel the same way, and I didn't get the same sexist treatment at Harvard that they said they got. I could see that their way was true for them, but they were very, very unhappy. Obviously, they were being persecuted. I never felt persecuted, and I was really, really happy in that area. So, again, pull it back to I'm getting in their business, and that's not where I belong. All that belongs to me is cleaning up my own inner house. And that's always the first step. If there's a conflict in relationship, if there's a conflict at work, if there's a conflict not knowing what your purpose in life is, if you cannot move forward, we're going to talk to someone who has trouble making decisions. There is a lie in there somewhere. And you will find it as you sink inward looking for the source of your suffering, your emotional suffering. I feel stuck. Okay, what's the most painful thing about that? Oh, my goodness, I'm quite depressed. I'm in agony. Okay, what's the most agonizing thing? I can't move forward. Okay, is that true? Can you absolutely know that belief is true, that you can't move forward? And you might sprout a mutant belief off the side. I can't move forward because I'm too old. And then you okay, that really hurts. That's the lie I have to look at. Well, but I am too old. I'm 93 years old. That's how long I've been on Earth. Really? You're 93 years old. That's true. But is it true that that means you're too old to move forward? Can you absolutely know that that is true? You find the thought that causes the pain, and then you use the paid process. You go to the part of yourself that knows the taste of freedom. And you hold the thought up in the light of that truth. And if you do not absolutely know it to be true, it will fall apart. Ultimately, if you do this over and over, what you realize is that all your beliefs ultimately fall apart. What happens then is that the soul, the knowing that is the soul, this vast, infinite, universal intelligence that is your essential self, it begins to be clear of all ideas, all concepts, and it rests in this bliss that is its nature. One of my favorite gurus, Nisargadatta Maharaj, said, he's read his book, it's great, but here's something I just read this morning from him that I thought, this is where the integrity cleanse takes us. He said, reality can neither be proved nor disproved. Within the mind, you cannot. Beyond the mind, you need not. So what we're looking for is a sense of truth beyond the mind, deeper than the mind. The mind can't absolutely prove anything true. We could all be dreaming. This could all be a lie. But beyond the mind, we don't need to prove or disprove. We only need to, there's a clarity of vision, and you feel it as bliss. And if there's not bliss, if there's not absolute freedom and the joy that goes with it, I promise you, there are stacks of lies. But remember what I said about the baby who reacts to its mother's face at 5 months and carries that lesson throughout its life? That's how deep the levels of lying go. There's a lot of socialization in place, and it doesn't read to you as something you're thinking. It reads as reality. And so that's what you start to question, is your very version of reality, and your reality will fall apart. And then you realize that beyond your concept of reality, there is this vast truth, this vast peace and joy and openness and play, consciousness playing with form, playing with this reality. And that's when all the masters tell us, you know, when you walk in enlightenment, you're in the peace that passeth understanding. That is the ultimate objective of simply telling the truth, telling the truth, telling the truth, living the truth, doing the truth. Okay, so all of that, keep cleaning your house, physically in three dimensions and also in your mind, until the mind is so clean it becomes clear and disappears. And then it's like, oh my God, what I thought was reality was really just a kind of a crappy movie. And what lies beyond reality, it's like an opposite of the movie The Matrix. You know, there's something beyond the reality we expect, only it's not a hellscape. It's exquisite, and it's home, and it's vaster and bigger than you could imagine. Bridget's going toward it as she gets a bigger house with brighter colors, right? And ultimately, she's going to end up roaming the universe. You can put that on Facebook. I did my integrity cleanse with Martha Beck, and today she told me that I would soon be roaming the universe.
Exactly.
They already know I'm crazy. Okay, so the next part of the cleanse was make clean decisions as you go forward. So in order to make clean decisions as you go forward, you have to be able to stand in a clean place in your own house, in your own mind. Remember how I asked you just get a clean spot in your house? And go to that spot and feel the feeling of that little, I don't know, 3-foot by 3-foot area being clean and clear. There is something inside you. Ultimately, it will become your entire self. But maybe it's just a spot inside you where you know for sure that you are in clarity. And for some people, I can get them there by asking questions like, tell me if this is true for you. I never wanted to cause suffering for another being. A lot of people can give a clear, honest yes to that. It can be, I love my children. Yes. Okay, that's a clear, honest yes. That feeling is where you go. To get there, you must be very, very still. And you have to be able to do this, something I call a touchstone. Touchstone was a rock that they would use in medieval Europe when they were using gold coins. I may have told you about this. The rock was harder than gold, but softer than brass or bronze. So they'd get gold-like alloys that they'd try to pass off as gold. And somebody who was trading money would have a touchstone, and they'd touch the metal to the stone, and if it left a trace, it was gold, because the gold was softer than the stone. If it scratched the stone, it was not gold. So when you go to that clear place in your heart, and then you hold up whatever you're doing next, you hold it up and see, is it gold? Is it pure? And you can start to get this feeling. No, that has the feel of gold. Doing this particular action has the feeling of real joy, love, peace, honesty. And this other action doesn't feel that way. And you just have to get really, really clear as you make decisions going forward about finer and finer gradations of what feels good and what feels doesn't, and what feels not good. And that's why you have to be so still. Now, there's a metaphor that really helps me with this, and it's the metaphor of trim tabs on a big boat, on a huge boat. Ocean liners are so immense. They're like a block long. And the rudders on those things are so big that to make a machine that would turn that rudder against the water pressure, you'd need a machine that would be so heavy it wouldn't let the ship sail. So what brilliant engineers do is on the back of the huge rudder, they put little tiny rudders, some of them only 6 inches wide, called trim tabs. And when the captain turns the wheel, what actually turns first are the trim tabs, these little pieces of metal, and they change the flow of the water, make it turbulent in such a way that the big rudder can now catch on the water currents, and the big rudder turns, and then the whole ship turns around. So as you make decisions, and you're always saying, is this true for me, is this not true for me, is this clearer, or is this not as clear, is this warmer, is this colder, is this freer, is this more captive, as you go onward, you start to turn those trim tabs. And as the trim tabs turn, big things start to turn without your having to force them. You can keep all your attention just on the trim tabs, just on being, like, scrupulously integrated in all your choices, just going throughout today. And remember that one of those choices is to treat yourself with kindness. If you're being perfect in every area and slapping your baby, that's not integrity. So as you move all the little trim tabs of your decisions, the whole boat starts to turn, and you find yourself acting differently in business, in relationships, and you don't even have to think about it. It just comes out differently. Now, there's a fascinating phenomenon that happens when you're willing to take an integrity cleanse, and I have permission to talk about it to you. Byron Katie, who was part of the inspiration for this course, as you remember, she had this enlightenment experience, but then after her experience where she woke up in pure joy, she really didn't have any concepts, so she didn't even know how to go through life, really. She was like a new baby. And one night she was lying in bed with her husband, who later they split up because he couldn't handle her integrity. And she looked across the room, and there was a little chubby lady sitting in a chair across the room. And she described, in a book that has not yet been published, Katie describes her in exact detail. She was wearing a black dress with little white flowers with a belt around the middle. And she just looked like a sweet little chubby lady. She reminded Katie of her grandmother, who had been very loving to her. And suddenly then she felt that she was the little lady, looking back at the two people on the bed, her husband and herself. And then she was back in herself again. But for a period of, I think, many months, everywhere she went, the lady went with her. And if Katie would say something that wasn't absolutely true, like she'd say, somebody would say, do you like my shoes? And she'd say, yes, they're beautiful. If it wasn't true, the lady would turn her face away and not look at Katie. And Katie couldn't stand for the lady not to be connected to her. So she'd run back to the person and say, I don't like your shoes. I told you that to manipulate you because I want you to like me. Which is a little, you know, if you want to go that hard, go that hard. I'm not sure I would do it exactly that, but every single time she was out of integrity, the lady would look away and sometimes be gone, I think, disappear. And she couldn't stand the lady not being there. As she got more and more full of integrity, the lady sort of moved inside her. So she sees the lady as a projection of her own inner self that was connected, that was in total integrity. And it was her way of projecting that part of her that knew integrity in a way that she could kind of read it. So actually, this happens more often than you'd think. I've had a lot of clients, a lot of friends who've experienced the presence of what seems to be another being, very, very loving, who is sad or distant when you stop living in integrity. And it doesn't have to be a fantasized being, or I don't know, some people might call it a spiritual being. I don't know what it is. For me, interestingly enough, it was Stephen Mitchell, Katie's husband. When I met him, we'd talked a few times, but then we really had a conversation, and he said some very, very gentle, very kind things about discernment, about how I was making choices in my career, and was that really coming from my integrity. And I realized I had a belief that you kind of have to do a few things that are kind of like, ugh, just to, like, appeal to the masses. Like, sometimes you have to write something more understandable than what you really want to write. So in these, in areas like that, I wasn't in integrity. And I had this conversation with Stephen, but after the conversation, whenever I was out of integrity, I would feel his energy, like his personality. And he absolutely lives in integrity, like unbelievably clean. And I would feel ashamed that I was out of integrity and this energy was right next to me. So there may be in your life an energy, a person, a spirit guide, your favorite superhero that you can use to project someone who always knows your truth. And because part of you always knows your truth, you can tell when the lady turns her face away. Whether you're using as your integrity touchstone, whether you're using a friend, your grandmother, Stephen Mitchell, a spirit guide, whatever it is for you, if you ask yourself to create a standard of integrity, a feeling of integrity that you can then touch as you go, as you make every decision, and you can feel that that being will move away from you when you're doing something that isn't right for you, and that the feeling of separation from this spiritual aspect of self is sad. It's sad beyond belief. It's this feeling of having your heart ripped out. And so you want to get back into alignment with that. And it's, for me, this is, it's a strange and kind of mystical way to keep making decisions in integrity. But my experience is that many people have a sense of a loving being standing with them, your higher self, someone you've loved before, saying, really, sweetheart, is that really true for you? Are you sure? So I would encourage you to go ahead and conjure up for yourself an image of someone you love and respect, who loves and respects you absolutely and always knows your integrity. And try going to them for advice and going to them to say, am I in my integrity or is this not in integrity? And you'll find that you can feel love reacting in whatever form you conceptualize it. You can feel love reacting to your decisions, and you can feel your heart getting warmer and softer when you move toward integrity, and you can feel it getting this sense of stress and separation as you move away. So whoever your little lady is, go ahead and put a picture of it up on the window or on your car dashboard or anywhere you're going to see it a lot, on the fridge, and just ask yourself as you make every decision, is this bringing me closer into intimacy with my true self, with my spirit guide, with my little lady, or is it causing a separation and a feeling of loss? Somebody on the Facebook page asked about the empty elevator, about how people literally move away from you when you start to live in your integrity. This is different. So when people who are not in integrity experience you being completely honest, there will be a sense of distance from that which harms you, that which pulls you out of integrity. The empty elevator, the feeling of being alone, lasts until you have allowed in a level of truth that allows you to connect with more honest people. So when you feel lonely because you've been being very scrupulously honest with yourself and now you feel separate from the other people around you, you need to go deep into your own belief systems about what creates a loving connection with other people, because you may have feelings, for example, of guilt, of moving away from your socialized patterns. You may still have the patterns inside you. And Jen talked about this last week. Until the patterns are gone, the belief patterns, new people can't come toward you, can't surround you. But over and over and over, the most consistent thing that has ever happened to me as a coach, and I've coached thousands of people, is that I watch people as they come closer to real integrity. I have watched and felt everything they've ever prayed for, whether or not they believe in God, everything they've ever yearned and asked for is straining to reach them, aching to reach them, pushing in to reach them. And there is a wall of disbelief or belief in something that's not true that is keeping those things away. And when the beliefs finally get questioned, when you finally get it that, no, you are not a bad person for changing all your behavior, for not talking to this person, for disappointing that person, for being in integrity, when your beliefs around that collapse, there is this rushing of everything, of love, of career opportunities, of a sense of purpose, companionship, help from others. It rushes in when the barrier of belief in untrue ideas goes down. So that was a very long lecture about staying in touch with your integrity and your relationships. The little lady thing helped me, so I thought it might help you. But basically, it's just that every time you make a decision, you feel inside yourself this sense of, it either feels tense and stressful, or it feels peaceful and relaxed. Always go towards what's peaceful and relaxed. And then you're going to have, by this time, you're going to be in relationships. This was our Unit 3, Be Clean in Your Relationships. Several people wrote into the Facebook page and said, you know, I'm telling the truth in all my relationships, except I have a festering well of resentment against my very dearest friend. I'm paraphrasing. And they had rules around, well, either I have to, like, blurt my anger at this person and savage the relationship, or I have to keep all this resentment and anger inside and not speak my truth, and then I'll be, the relationship's fine, but I'm out of integrity and it's eating me alive. This will happen. It will eat you alive. Suffering is your best friend. It will eat you alive as long as you're not in integrity. But there are assumptions there about the way you tell the truth, about screaming your anger or firmly stating how angry you are at someone, or like going into levels of unkindness because you have conflated them with truth. And that means if you're still stuck in one of those patterns, you have to go inward and clean house again. And you need to clean house in relationship to the people you want to talk to. So some people said, you know, should I, like one person said, I don't want to talk to my mother-in-law when I'm in real integrity. I don't want to. But how do I say that without, like, really hurting her feelings? You know how to do what's right, not just what to do, but how to do it, the words to do it, by going to your integrity. Imagine your little lady sitting there, and then go through how would you talk to your mother-in-law about not wanting to be on the phone. And it could be, I don't want to talk to you. Fact is, I've figured it out. I've gotten into my truth, and I don't like you. I don't want to be around you. That's one way. But is it kind? So in yoga, they say something if it is true, necessary, and kind. If you can't find a way to say it that's kind, it's not true enough, and or it's not necessary. It's not, you don't have to say everything to everyone. You can just move away. That's the bullseye pattern on your worksheet. You can just gently create more distance, and then you're happy. But what if you talk to your mother-in-law and you realize, okay, for example, you might have a rule, I have to talk about what my mother-in-law likes to talk about. Is that true? Does that hold up? I found when I went on my integrity cleanse that I stopped following conversational patterns I didn't want to follow. So say, you know, my job is to get on with my mother-in-law and talk to her about small talk. She just like, let's say she's a person who likes small talk, and I don't like small talk. I like large talk. So what if instead of saying, I don't want to talk to you, I get on the phone with her and I say exactly what I actually want to say? So she says, hello, how are you doing? What are you eating for dinner tomorrow? And I would say, I don't really know. I was just out in the forest for an hour, and it occurred to me that a fossil I found could be my own distant ancestor. And she'd be like, okay, but are you getting your nails done? And I would say, think about that. Your own ancient ancestor. What is life anyway? And do you realize that we come from an unbroken chain of one life that started as a bacterium and it went through hundreds of millions of years of evolution, and that one life has never been extinguished. It's always been traded generation to generation. By this time, she's like, I don't want to talk to you anymore. So it's just because you're staying in integrity about who you are, about what you want to say. You don't have to create pronouncements. You just have to be yourself. You don't need more social rules. You just need to be yourself, to say what you would say if you were talking to your best friend that really interests you, instead of saying what the script says you're supposed to say. I also started doing this in the religion I was born into. I started saying exactly what I really thought. And they didn't kick me out. I quit. But trust me, they would have kicked me out if I hadn't quit. But I didn't have to do it angrily. I didn't do it in a feeling of anger. I just started talking about what I really believed, and it became very clear that we weren't on the same path. And then I left because it was in my integrity to do so. But I didn't scream at anyone along the way. Okay, the final part of the integrity cleanse that we've been working on this week is learning to steer by integrity all the time, to live in the Tao, in the way of truth. And this means replacing all belief systems, control efforts, rule books, and socialized rules of conduct with truth, with integrity, so that you go to the well of truth within yourself. You're very kind to yourself always. And if you're not kind to yourself, you apologize, and you become more connected to your truth as you treat yourself more kindly. And you just keep adjusting those trim tabs in finer and finer ways. And whatever happens to press you into a different way of being simply will not happen. You just won't do it. You will not do it. And because living on the path of that integrity feels so good. And it starts to pull you forward very rapidly. And the blossoming begins, and new ideas come, and new opportunities come, and all of reality starts to treat you kindly because you're in the truth of kindness to the self. And then you realize something, and this was something actually I didn't deeply feel even after my last integrity cleanse that I did on telecourse, and in between telecourses I reached it, which is seeing, because you're living as truthfully as you can, that, oh my God, the universe is kind. It really is gentle. It really is loving. You find that we could argue later about genocides and things, but I'm talking about waking up in the morning with the experience of love flowing into you rather than tension. Oh, I've got to live another day on this planet. Instead, because integrity and love ultimately are the same thing, you wake up and love floods in. And then everything that happens to you, it doesn't happen to you, it's happening for you. And things become, I'll give you an example of how this can change in you. It doesn't mean that you're shouting positive affirmations to the rooftops. It means that you see things in their true light. So recently my son-in-law lost his job, his company folded, and everybody was out of a job. And it was brutal because he and my daughter had just, managed to accumulate this nest egg that they were going to spend on a house that they have dearly wanted for so long. And then his job fell apart, and her income's not enough, and they couldn't get this house. And she was shattered. You know, they'd already put down earnest money on this house. And I was shattered because when it's your baby, you tend to be a little more enmeshed. And she was like, we're never going to have this nest egg again, and now we're going to fritter it away, and we're not going to ever get our own place, and blah, blah, blah. And it really felt negative the first day. And then I went and I sat. I went to my meditation cushion. Yes, I have one. And I sat down on it, and I got still. And I realized that, and this is me just making stuff up, but I felt, the little lady was nowhere to be seen. I wrote a book recently where the heroine's spirit animal is a wild boar, a pig. And so when I go into sorrow and I can't find my joy, I say I've lost my pig. I have totally lost the pig. And I had so lost my pig. And I went and I sat on the meditation cushion and I felt my way to the truth. And it just blossomed like a flower. It said, your son-in-law was meant to be set free. They accumulated that money so that he could rest, become still, and find a way of making money that is not just an old job that's going to grind him to dust. He's been such a good man all his life. He is meant to be set free. The house will happen in its time, but what was more important was the money is there for them to live while he becomes free of the lie of a culture that says he is supposed to be a cog in the great machine of material wealth. And it just was like, it just seemed so clear. And I called my daughter and I said, listen, this seems so clear. And she said, yeah, we've been talking. And that's what came up for us too. And we all went from being quite distressed to being so just like in awe that the universe is so gentle about the way it's moving him into a, and you know what the funny thing is, that at Christmas time when they came here, we did New Year's resolutions. And I couldn't stop blabbing about my integrity cleanse. So my son-in-law said, you know, my New Year's resolution, I'm going to do that integrity cleanse thing. That sounds good to me. And now his job dissolved, but they have the money to live. And as he gets deeper in his integrity, I believe with all my heart, he's going to find the thing that brings him joy and brings an income as well. And the universe is working so gently with all of us. But that's just my story. I'm sticking to it for now.
I think that's such a great point, Martha, is being in my own integrity has given me so much more. What I realized is that if I'm in other people's business, I also don't have faith in them. And so when I come home, it allows me to trust that they're being held, they're being guided, and that they're perfectly capable of creating what they want in their lives. You know, I don't need to get in there and worry or fix. And then I can just watch. I can watch the flow for myself, and I can watch the flow for the people that I love in my life, and that feels so much better.
And thank you. And it really, really, for me, it requires a stillness practice. Whether you want to go for a walk outside or sit on a cushion or whatever, I do my stillness practice. I sit down and hear, Bridget, you're so right. You don't sit down and say, what do I do about Bob and Sally and Ted? You don't sit down and think, what is their truth? What should I do to bring them into truth? You sit down and you say, why am I not at peace? What am I thinking that is taking me out of peace? So I thought, that, oh, my gosh, my daughter and her husband, what are they going to do? He's lost his job. And in order to get back in my integrity, I had to say, that's not my business. What's happening to me is that I'm catastrophizing about someone else's life. What's true? Here I sit. I have a nice house. I have a career I love. Get back into that. Live the path of integrity that has given me so many blessings, and trust that by doing that, I create the greatest possible energetic resonance for other people to come into their own integrity. If you are not happy, it's because you're believing something that isn't true. You may not know what it is, but suffering will help you find it. And you just do it over and over and over, and you use any mechanism that works for you, any guided visualization, any meditation, any practice, all the stuff that we've taught on during this course, you use it all. And you get to the point where you can use it without referring to the reference materials. And then it's like you have this a skill, an ability to find the track of integrity. And once you get on that, you can start to steer more and more minutely and move the trim tabs just exactly right, and then the whole damn ship of your life will turn. And you think, wow, I hardly did anything. I was just kind of sitting around telling the truth to myself. So let's do some coaching around this. Sarah Ingracia asked a question, and we are supposed to have a little coaching session here. So press what
Sarah,
is it?
Star two. Sarah, if you can press star two.
Star two. So she's
there. You are.
Hello.
Hi, Sarah.
Hi.
So, how you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm
good.
A little nervous.
Do you remember your question, or should I read it off?
What do you think?
Well, I think you probably will remember it. You said you want to be coached about staying in the same integrity in all situations, even though you have different hats you wear throughout the day.
Yes.
And you said, sometimes I feel the need to bend, to be who the other person needs me to be at that time. And then
yes.
You said, sometimes I feel like I'm doing a tap dance during a presentation or something, and I do believe in my presentation and what I'm offering, but when I'm done, I'm so drained, I'm done for the day. Okay.
Yes.
So as you go into the presentation, like you said, you're a little nervous now?
Right now, yes, a little bit.
Okay, so get really quiet.
Okay.
You can feel your heart beating. You can feel the nervousness. It's not necessarily bad. It's just sensation, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what is the truest thing you could say in this moment?
I love my family.
That's good, too. But I was sort of saying about this moment. You already did it. You said, I feel nervous.
Yes.
And I'm hoping what? Or I'm afraid that what?
I feel nervous because I'm aware that because I admire you, and that's exciting to speak with you, and I know there's tons of people on the phone call. And I feel excited because I think that your coaching process is really interesting, and I'm curious to see what comes out of it.
Okay. So that sounded very – now, as you say that, how are you feeling?
A little calmer.
Right. So she made a statement. It's called a meta statement. And sometimes this is the most truthful thing you can do. In systems where it feels safe, you say, this is how I'm feeling right now. This is what I'm hoping right now. This is what I'm afraid of right now. And you can actually say that to people. As you get more and more into your integrity, they'll respond more and more happily. But even in situations where you're not sure who you're talking to, it can be very helpful to ground yourself back in the integrity just by telling yourself that truth. So say you're in this situation, you're going to do a presentation at work.
Yes.
And this is where the kind of thing where you do a tap dance and then you feel so drained, you don't know how, you can barely go on, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I equate it to the movie Ghost with Whoopi Goldberg.
Uh-huh.
Did you ever see that?
Oh, yeah.
So when after she channels the spirits, then she kind of, like, deflates on the sofa.
Uh-huh.
That's my joke that I relate it to.
And do you see the connection to integrity there? She collapses on the sofa because for a while she has not been herself.
Hmm.
She's been possessed by something that is not her.
That's, yeah, I never connected that.
Yeah, I mean, it's everywhere. And when you start to see it, you realize that the whole culture is telling stories about what happens when we step out of our integrity and try to split ourselves and become duplicitous. So what happens when the tap dancer up there isn't your truest self?
Yeah.
It's not that she's telling lies. It's that you're not being your truest self. And to get back to your truest self, you can stop right before you go into the presentation, and you feel the urge to tap dance. Where is it coming from? What are you saying to yourself that makes you go into that manic energy?
I have to sell my idea. I have to convince them of, let's see, well, it's a creative presentation thing, and it's personal because I'm an interior designer, so it's their house,
mm-hmm.
and you're in their space. It's personal. a lot of times my clients aren't, they're hiring me because that's not their forte.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, for instance, I might try hard to use specific names of colors,
mm-hmm.
To not just say orange. I might say pumpkin or shrimp. And then while I'm doing that, I'm trying to kind of analyze who they are. Like, is it a stockbroker and a lawyer? Are they married? Do they seem tense? So I'm picking up all their cues.
Okay, I hear you.
And
what I hear is the mind calculating.
Yes.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. And I feel like if I don't calculate right, like if I say shrimp and they hate shrimp, shoot, I should have said pumpkin or
uh-huh.
salmon.
So you have this thought. If I have to sell this idea.
Yeah.
I have to hook them on this idea, right? You know, I have to... It's almost like you want to even to override whatever's happening in the room so that your idea wins.
Right, and where that is, there's a lot of sides to it because part of what my, I don't know what you would call it, part of my ideology about my work is that, like, I don't just take my look and put it on their house. I like to collaborate with them, and I tell them this, too. I like to collaborate with people, and I like to tell the story of who you are and just tell it in a way that you can't do yourself, or you know, I wouldn't say it quite that bluntly, but help you facilitate what you want and give you more ideas than you may be able to come up with because this is what I'm trained in.
All right, so you want them to have a house that's really, really theirs. So you want to
yes.
push your ideas through.
Right. Well, I want to state them in the way that makes that gets through to them.
Actually,
Yes.
Breathe.
Okay.
Remember the little lady? Byron Katie came out. She was completely enlightened, and yet she would say things to people for the purpose. She had an agenda. And
mm-hmm.
Katie says, personalities don't love. They want something.
Mm-hmm.
Love has no wanting whatsoever. And the moment you go into manipulation of another person's ideas, behavior, anything, you are now out of truth and into manipulation.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll feel that sense of, in Katie's case, it's when the lady turned away. She lost the pig. The feeling of sweetness and integrity and calm within the self
mm-hmm.
begins to depart as you start thinking, how can I make them think what I want them to think?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying you're a bad person. You have totally 100% positive motivations for doing this, 1,000% positive. Do you hear that?
Yes.
I really, really respect what you're doing, and I think you're doing nothing but good, and I think you are really married to manipulation as a way of getting good things to happen. Tell me
mm-hmm.
where I'm wrong.
It doesn't come across sounding like, yay, I'm glad you said that, but it does seem like that must be true.
So you're in there with a couple, and you're using the word pumpkin and not shrimp, and
right.
you're dancing as fast as you can, and you're going to be drained, and you're possessed by another being,
right.
like Whoopi Goldberg and Ghost. Now, I want you to just stand with me over on the side of that scene. We're in the room. There's the couple. There's you.
Mm-hmm.
And you're dancing. You're sweating bullets under your fabulous clothes, thinking, did I use is pumpkin right or should it be like caramel spice?
Mm-hmm.
And we watch this woman trying to make sure that these people get it the way she wants them to get it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Can
mm-hmm.
you see how tense she is?
Yeah.
Okay. In my favorite Indian Native American legend, the mind is symbolized by a wolf that has lost its sanity and does nothing but chase its own tail. Wolves are incredibly intelligent, but in this case, the wolf has lost his integrity and he goes around and around chasing his own tail because he's forgotten why he's there. And I do this when I'm in front of an audience, I used to, where I would start thinking, how do I convince them to like what I'm saying? How do I make this, how do I make it work, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was really for myself. you're doing it with interior design, and it's the wolf chasing his tail, and we all do it. We get wrapped up in how do I make things go right, and the mind takes over, and integrity is lost. The cure for the wolf in the Indian legend is the eye of a mouse. A mouse is something that is not particularly intellectual, and mice see only what's right in front of them. They don't see the distant scene. They don't see the past. They don't see the future. They see what's right in front of their little whiskery noses. They see what's here now. So over on the side with me, we're going to press the pause machine on this scene with you and the couple, okay?
Okay.
And we're not going to press play again until the woman on the couch is breathing the way she breathes when she's asleep and is able to look at this couple and just feel, I know their souls. I sense their souls. I know how colors work. I know the richness I'm bringing to their lives. I'm just going to feel their energy, and I'm going to flow with it, and I'm going to say, I hope you like this. I think it's going to be wonderful. If I use the wrong words, please let me know, because I think there's a vision for this that would serve you guys so well. But mostly, you're feeling them instead of trying to make it work right.
Mm-hmm.
I know you can go to that space when you're alone. I can tell me where I'm wrong.
And I can, and I have. I talked with a couple of clients about this recently that were, you know, they started out as kind of moderate friends, and then I worked with them for a year or two and did their whole house, and then they became like, you know, some of them became best friends that I could really talk to now. And when I mentioned this to them, they had no idea of it, and I thought that was interesting. That they had never perceived the tap dance, you know? So
you know why?
Why?
Because the truth is there from the beginning. Your talent is real. Your love for them is real. They feel that and sense that. The running around in your own head and exhausting yourself is something you're doing completely to entertain your own mind.
Yes, that's true. That is so true.
Absolutely unnecessary. Remember, within the mind, you cannot make things work. And beyond the mind, you need not make things work. They work by themselves.
Yeah. And I've got to get back to that place, because it's gotten so exhausting that, you know, I'm kind of, you know, probably not working as much as I could and have in the past, because I just get so worn out by the whole thing. So,
right.
What do you suggest that I do to calm down my wolf brain? So, because I do think that I have good intentions for the clients. I think I do good work.
No doubt.
And how do I stop myself from tap dancing and spinning into this other not myself person?
You
breathe.
Well, you know.
People.
Sorry. You know that any degree of suffering comes from believing a lie.
Mm-hmm.
Follow the suffering that as it's created in the moment, and you look at, okay, I'm tap dancing and I'm exhausted. Why am I tap dancing? Because I believe something. What is it I believe? I have to make them see this. Really? Go into the place of stillness. Find your heart. Find the thing that knows, for example, what a beautiful color is. It doesn't. You don't even need words. It's just, right? That the knowledge of beauty in your own soul, and bring in the thought, I have to make them see it my way. And you'll find it's a lie.
Yeah, it's like a sandpaper brushing up against it or something.
Yeah. So then you try looking at the opposites. You go through the paid process. How about I have to make myself see my own way?
Well, I think there's something, too, about the worry of, like, getting the job and making the money.
Okay, so write that down, too. So
okay.
You're going into your little nest of beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
All the reasons you tap dance. So you could take a piece of paper and you could write, here are all the reasons I tap dance. If I don't do it, it won't work. If I don't tap dance enough, I'll be out of a job. I won't make enough money. They won't see it the right way. The work won't get done well. They won't understand. Just write all the things that we get these huge castles mm-hmm. of false belief.
Right.
Live in them like they're dungeons, and we have to take them down brick by brick by brick. And you do it by getting still and questioning, is it true that if I don't tap dance, I can't make money?
Mm-hmm.
Is that true?
No.
That came out really clearly. And what's the opposite of if I don't tap dance, I can't make money?
If I don't tap dance, I could make more money.
That's one of them. And I think it's, have you ever been tap danced by a salesperson?
Yeah, and I hate it.
I know. How about
that's not what it seems like to them. I mean, I think to them it seems all very exciting.
What it seems like to them is none of your business, sweetie. It's
okay.
Not their integrity we want, it's yours.
Thank you. Okay.
So if you can start to shake free the belief, I need to tap dance to make money,
mm-hmm.
and start seeing the truth in things like, I need to stop tap dancing to make more money.
Mm-hmm.
I need to go forward in peace. They may not even notice a difference, but you won't get exhausted.
That's true. Yes, that's so right. Okay.
Yeah, and it's just that you said it yourself. You knew it. You said, I feel like the person in Ghost. I've let another being take over my life. And it's great. It's serving other people. But I need to be in my own body all the time.
Yes.
And what you'll find is that as you question thoughts like, I have to tap dance to make this work, you'll start to see all these, if you do the paid process, you'll see all these times when you didn't tap dance and it worked just fine.
Right.
Or when you did tap dance and it didn't work at all.
Right.
And as you shine the light of truth on it, as you sit with it in stillness, it's so worth it to take one thought like, I have to tap dance to make it work, and just really drill down into the deepest part of your integrity and say, is that really true? And tell yourself the reasons it can't be true, or you've observed that it isn't true.
Right.
And then the mind starts to, just a little at a time, like a tooth wiggling before it falls out when you're a kid, it starts to get wobbly. And then one day it just falls out completely.
And
you
is
find
the
yourself,
analogy to that, that one day you just realize, hey, I'm not tap dancing anymore.
Exactly. Yeah.
And it
Bridget
just happens
Holmes,
like practice by practice by practice.
Yep. And you change the pattern. This is, we're going to coach someone next who is talking about pattern changing. You change the pattern and then you see the proof.
Mm-hmm.
You don't wait to see the proof of a new belief and then change the pattern. Okay, when I know that it's safe to stop tap dancing, then I'll stop tap dancing. No, you have to stop it because it hurts.
Yes.
You see, miracle of miracles, it's unnecessary, and the new way of being true to yourself is working much, much better.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you, my dear. I think you have wonderful days ahead, because really, you're doing everything so perfectly except for the three-ring circus in your mind. And you can just sort of chuck that and go sailing on your way, and things are going to watch. People may not have noticed that you're tap dancing, but when you stop tap dancing, they will come to you like flies to honey. I am not kidding you. Integrity is so infectious. Excuse me. And I've seen this in case after case of people who are in business and think they're doing fine, and then they go into more integrity and business like triples overnight.
Yes, I believe those things happen for sure.
So go and be still and feel it in your heart, and then go into the next interaction with a couple loving your ideas, loving them, loving the colors you're talking about, just loving and being absolutely sure you don't have to tap dance, and watch how love carries the day.
Yes.
It's a million times more powerful than tap dancing.
That's true, and that keeps coming up in my life and my family life, and my husband and I have been talking about it with our kids, and it's just, we just keep coming back to, like, that's the most important thing. So I think that that will be a good touchstone for me.
I hope so, dear. And
I had, Martha, I had one other quick thought, too. Sarah, if you can also, what was coming to my mind is be willing to be wrong.
Yes.
And what I mean about that is, you know, I'm just visualizing as you stop tap dancing and you throw out the ideas that you love and you're loving your clients, and they give you feedback and they say, well, I don't know about this or that. But if you're not tap dancing and you're not trying to guess the right thing, you enter into that really cool flow of ideas back and forth, which then you guys together co-create something that is, you know, going to be super fabulous for everybody involved.
Yes.
And then they get to feel like they've had a part in it, and you don't feel like you have to defend your ideas.
Right. And then, you know what? I actually do that, and I,
yeah.
I, and part of my little deal, I tell them, you know, if I throw something out and you really don't like it, please tell me, and or say, you know, I don't like shrimp. I really love Navy, and I love Navy too, and then we'll start brainstorming on Navy. And usually,
perfect.
Those kinds of things do relax them, which also helps me relax.
Yeah.
And I totally agree. You know, part of the most fun part of it for me is the collaboration, ultimately, once I get to the relaxed stage, which
awesome. You can just skip.
I want to get there faster.
Yeah.
I suggest complete integrity or horse tranquilizers. They're kind of the same. No, they're not. So I think, you know, I love coaching somebody who's got it all in place except for a few, like, you've got a little belief palace around the frantic activity that will cause you to succeed.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a very common cultural pattern. And we all need to get past it. I was talking to somebody else who's on the course who does a lot of speaking and brilliant speaker. And then she said sometimes she gets up and she just speaks from the heart, from pure love. And she doesn't even remember exactly what she said. She hasn't planned it out, and people just go nuts over that stuff.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, it's authentic.
Yeah, and it wants to serve everyone, and everyone feels it. And
yeah.
it's beautiful, and you are a creator of beauty, so you're going to have fun with this.
Yes, and I look forward to seeing everybody who's going to be in Austin. I'm so excited about that.
Woo-hoo! It's going to be so fun. But I have two more people to coach. I'm warning y'all right now, I may go over time because I can truncate a coaching moment and say, you know, we're going to move on now. But you know what? Sometimes as we're going along here, I thought that with that little conversation we just had, and then I thought, no, it's not in my integrity to cut Sarah off now. It's in my integrity to go over time, and immediately I relaxed. So I was out of my integrity because I was thinking the thought, I have to be done, you know, at a certain time by the clock. And then when I set myself free from that and thought, well, you know, people may need to go, but I am very happy to go a few minutes over time if it means a better piece of coaching. That was more in my integrity. I relaxed. Everything starts to flow better. So thank you, Sarah, very much. And now I want to talk to Jennifer. She says she has, press star 2, Jennifer Foltz. I have some recurring patterns around decision-making, she says, that I can't put my finger on. She says,
Jennifer, you here. Sorry.
Yeah, no, go ahead, Martha. I'll let you.
Do you go by Jennifer or Jen or Jenny or?
Jen or Jennifer, either one's fine.
All right. So you said that you keep running into this blank, frozen response that keeps you unable to make a choice, yeah?
Yes.
So, and you can't really track it down. So is it manifesting in any decision-making right now? It can be a small thing today, like what am I going to have for dinner? Or it can be, who am I going to marry? You know, what's happening for you right now?
Like a real decision I'm facing. Let's see, how about, oh, my mind goes big to different trainings I'm looking at, or yeah, what?
She can't decide what to say.
See what I mean? You can work with me, right? Right from here. Yeah. How about doing body work training versus life coach training?
Okay. So you say you're in limbo here? You're like, you can't make
yes.
your mind up about this.
I get clear and then I don't, and it's just, it gets confusing for me.
Okay.
I don't trust my my sensations or my mind, and discerning between them gets a little hairy there.
Okay. So, and you said, I really want to live in integrity, and yet I feel like there's some fear or belief that keeps me from being able to even acknowledge to myself what my integrity is. It's ripe with fear, abandonment, rejection, and annihilation. It's like I'm walking a tightrope and could fall to my death with one false move. Okay?
Yes.
So you really, you, at first it's like, ooh, I feel frozen and blank, and then you realize later on in your question that you're in very, very large-scale fear here. Panic.
Yes. Panic, total panic.
Yeah.
And then I think it's like the panic. Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say there's flight, fight, and freeze. Those are the three fear responses. Faint is actually another one, fourth one, but that's kind of freezing. But that's what the body does under extreme duress. You know, some animals just freeze in place when they're afraid.
Uh-huh.
So does that ring? Because you say that there's this tremendous.
I think there's a couple going on, actually, Martha. I think, like, I'm in such panic that then I go into this blank, confused state, which has been frozen. I think it's,
yeah.
And it's such a quick leap between the two. But I am aware of both happening.
It's an actual biological reaction. It's because
yes.
some animals, if they hold still enough, they won't get preyed upon. So holding still is part of the fight-flight response, and different people react differently, and you happen to favor freezing.
Yes. Yes.
Right? So the thing about freezing that makes it difficult to get out of is that you can't have any new experience that will teach you that you didn't need to freeze until you act. And if you're
right.
frozen, you're not going to act.
Yeah.
Right? So it's a catch-22. So you said you'd looked at thoughts like, have you asked yourself, okay, so for example, in this body work versus life coaching.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's look at this sentence. I'm walking a tightrope and could fall to my death with one false move. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So you have this decision. If you make a decision that you would call wrong, remember, I really believe you cannot make a mistake. You either get what you wanted or you get an education, and both of them are valuable. But if you made what you would call the wrong decision, would you fall to your death?
No, I wouldn't.
Okay. So you know, in a sort of limp, pathetic way, no, I wouldn't.
Well, it's like I know it in a broad sense, but when it's time to, like, confront the action step to move forward in one direction or the other, I'm frozen and I don't know how to, like, get out of that or disengage from that. So I can intellectually know this, and it feels like truth down in my body as well, but there's the action piece that I need help with.
Yes, and here's where you're trying to feel your way into acting. And there are times in your integrity where you have to act your way into feeling. And that occurs when you are going into the unknown. There will always be a fear response to the unknown if it's big enough. And you can't make it go away just by being in integrity. There's something about the feeling of being in danger that is part of this life experience. The irony is, once you get deep into integrity and you start to see past the dual nature of our experience, you realize, oh my goodness, we're safe all along. None of this is really as dangerous as I thought it was. This is the matrix. It's not even real. But that's a very, very distant level. But you right now are believing the thought, I have to feel okay in order to take action.
Yeah, exactly.
But in fact, you've probably taken actions in your life, even if it was to choose not to make a choice. And so you took action and you did not fall to your death.
Yeah, that's true.
The thought that's paralyzing you is something around the idea of staying frozen is safe, action is dangerous.
Hmm.
And it's very deeply biological. And at this point, how do you try to say, okay, so you're sitting there, you've got your computer open, you have to make a choice, body work or life coaching? What's the feeling in the body? As you have to press one button or the other.
What comes to me first was body work. And then, like, immediately on its tails is this, like, something coming after me. Like, this doubt that's, like, very palpable in me that's, like, right on the tails.
So the feeling body work comes up. Before, okay, we're going to freeze that in time. We're going to get very, very, very still. So the thought body work comes up. Now, we know the other thought's going to chase it in a minute, but we're going to freeze time. You guys, over and over, I cannot emphasize this enough. Your integrity practice relies on being willing to get still. You can't feel your integrity if your mind is turbulent and if you're fixated on things around you, especially at first. You need to be quiet in the self. You don't need to be holding still, but you need to be like walking outside. You need to be away from other people usually, or you need to be in a still, quiet place where you can sit or lie down. So if you're very quiet and very still, Jennifer, and the body work feeling comes up, what physical sensation comes in that fraction of a second before the fear kicks in?
Well, what I'm feeling right now is a lot of fear and grief and vibration sensations, like in my chest, and
mm-hmm.
I'm wanting to cry. And
okay, so why aren't you crying?
I think I'm holding it in.
Yeah, allow. Allow. Just relax. Surrender, breathe, allow, receive. You surrender to the truth of this moment. You surrender to the shakiness, the fear.
And when I do that, it goes away.
Oh, interesting. See?
I'm like clear and I'm fine.
Ah, so in the clarity, and you think about signing up for body work training, what does it feel like in your body?
I want to do both.
Okay. Why don't you do both?
Because I don't have enough money and it would take too long. And
wait, let's stop.
I'm laughing because this feels like truth, and I'm giggling at myself because I didn't realize that this was my truth, and I'm seeing how even these beliefs could easily be turned around, but that wasn't accessible to me before.
Sure. But as you get still, this one issue and the suffering around it, if you surrender to it, breathe into it, allow it to give you what it wants to give you, it's starting to show you what's true for you. So you want to do both. Then the other thoughts come up. I don't have enough money. Well, how do you know over the course of your life you won't have enough money to do both those things? Can you be absolutely sure?
No.
It could be that you do one, earn a bunch of money, and then do the other.
Right.
And then you say, but it will take too long. Feel that. Does it feel true or tense? Does it feel like freedom or
restriction? It feels like a lie. Like
it
a
feels
lie. Yeah.
So if you get rid of the idea, I can't do both, if you get rid of the idea, I don't have enough money or I don't have time, and you're just with the thought, oh, I think I'll sign up for body work, and then I'll go and, you know, save up some money from doing body work and become a life coach.
And you know what I'm realizing now? It's like, I mean, I can start to feel different vibrations and sensations that feel like fear in my body, and I think that's where I get confused. Like, maybe I have beliefs that say I have to, like, fully, like, sit in it and feel it to the nth degree until it dissolves on its own. But what you're saying is no, you just breathe and get to that place of peace. Is that what you're saying?
Yep, you surrender to the moment, you breathe, and what you received was, I want to do both. Now comes the crucial part, you guys. Now comes the key to being different from almost anyone in the world. The key to being different from almost anyone in the world is that you do what you know is right for you even when you're afraid. You will not get to a place of not fearing. It's like saying, don't go in the water until you know how to swim. There are things you cannot learn without doing them, and choosing and acting into the unknown is one of those things. So you were given a gift from your integrity. I want to do both. And it was so clear. I felt a burst of joy from you. Tell me where I'm wrong.
No, you're right.
Before the fear kicked in, then you went into your pattern of fear. And your big belief, action is dangerous, being frozen is safe, is going to keep you in that little hover pattern.
Yeah.
Is it true that being frozen is safe?
No, it's awful.
Is it true that action is dangerous?
No, I love action. I love movement.
Mm-hmm. So when you know with your mind that, okay, this logically is not going to kill me, and you know with your heart and soul, this is what I want to do, you have to do it to break the pattern of the present moment. Bridget had to break the pattern of being in her too small house and sell that house and leave, which was a big investment and a big, you know, tons of scary unknown things. And until you do it and get into the house, you can't know what that, you can't resolve all that fear. Do you know how to drive a car, Jennifer?
Yes.
Did you know how when you were born?
No.
Did you know perfectly how to drive a car in all situations before you ever got in the car?
No.
Did you ever have scary, tense situations when you, like, had to make a difficult lane change and you'd never done it before?
Yes.
Of course you did. And you didn't park the car in the middle of the road and wait for the fear to go away.
No.
You had to do something. Did you always do it perfectly?
No.
Did you survive?
Thank God.
Can you
or change? Whoever, or whatever.
Can you change lanes when you're driving now?
Oh, yeah.
You have to act. You have to go past the frozenness. You see the lies. You see the truth. And then courage comes in. And I'm going to say it again. The thing that will keep you on an integrity course and make you different from almost everyone in the world is that you will do what you know is true for you even when you are afraid. One of my favorite quotes from this wonderful feminist cancer survivor is, I find my power when I move forward in integrity, whether or not I am afraid. So, are you willing to do that, Jennifer?
I am, and I have one last question for you.
Yeah.
I've read in your material about the difference between, I think you call it a clean fear and a dirty fear. Where, will you say a little bit about that?
Sure, and it's interesting, you've made one little error. It's not clean fear, dirty fear. It's clean pain, dirty pain.
Pain, oh.
All fear is dirty pain. So clean pain, you guys, is the pain. If I slapped Jennifer across the face and it would sting, that's called a clean pain. And if that she would suffer from the sting of the slap. But if she then said, that happened because I'm a bad person, or I hate her and I wish I could get back at her, but I can't, or everybody always does that to me, or I'm such a victim. Whatever she started to believe that caused mental, emotional pain after that experience, that's called dirty pain. And clean pain comes from what happens to us, and dirty pain comes from our thoughts about what happens to us. And all fear is about the future, and therefore, all fear is about something unknown, and therefore all things we tell ourselves to be afraid of in the future constitute dirty pain because we do not know what will happen.
Hmm.
There is no clean fear. You have not suffered from any negative consequences of making a choice, body working or life coaching. You are only suffering from your mind.
And so when I have a decision that feels very similar, either choice, and it's just like clouded with dirty pain, but I don't quite know what the belief is that's contributing it to it, is that just the time to not do either and take time to go and get clear and tease it all out? I guess I don't know what to do in those moments.
You do exactly what you just said. You go and you wait for clarity.
Okay.
You clean house first. Remember, I went through the steps that we've been through before. You clean house first. You go get still and say, what am I believing that's not true? And sometimes the belief is, I've got to make a decision right now.
Right.
Say, wait for more information.
Mm.
Sometimes the lie is, I know what to do, but I'm afraid to act, and I need to wait until I'm not afraid. And integrity will say, no, act, even though you are afraid.
Okay.
So you'll have to turn those trim tabs. There's a slight difference between being fuzzy and not having enough information and the paralysis that is the fear of moving forward into the unknown. Right now, they feel similar to you, but as you sit with them in calm and just examine them the way a scientist would examine something under a microscope, you'll start to see they're quite different.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you, Martha.
And overall, good luck. And have fun being a body worker and a life coach, because that's where you're headed.
Thank you.
Tell me where I'm wrong. Thank you, dear. So that's the end of our scheduled programming. I do have another person who is scheduled for coaching. Bridget, shall we?
Yes.
I'm asking for a judgment call as I sort of steer my integrity through this. I'm very reluctant to let folks go because my belief is that if I'm not shepherding everyone all the time, they can't possibly know what to do.
Wow.
I have no ego investments.
Yeah. I actually, my feeling is I think it might be nice to just spend a few minutes putting a cap on it. But
okay, good. What I'll do then is I'll address this question, but we won't do a full coaching session. And Connie can always get coaching from other people on the course, from any one of our coaches. And Connie, I'm sending out lots of love to you. So her question is a good one to end on, because she's at a real turning point in her life. She's splitting up with her husband after 26 years of being together, and she says she's been living out of her integrity, kind of trying to survive this split by being sort of in the relationship but not in it. She's in a phase of transition, and it's very hard for her to track her integrity through all these upheavals in her life. And the fact is, we're always in upheaval with our lives. There is always transformation. It's not always obvious and huge, but it's always happening. Change is always happening. And that means that just when we think the course is set, we've got the right partner, the right house, the right job, the right career decision, guess what? The river goes forward and it goes around a bend, and everything we thought was for sure forever starts to fall apart. And we realize, oh, integrity now demands that I allow something new into my perspective. And while that happens, things will get messed up. So I'm going right back to the very beginning again. Look, it will create a mess in your mind, just like you create a mess in your house sometimes, and the way to deal with the mess is to pull everything out, study everything to see if you want it or not, if it's true or not, every belief, every decision. And it's okay that there's a mess temporarily while things shift. That's part of getting clean. So some of you may have read the bestseller, The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up by Marie Kondo. And she talks about cleaning your house with one question over and over. You pick up every object in your house and you say, does it spark joy? If it sparks joy, you get to keep it no matter how ridiculous it is. if it doesn't spark joy, you have to throw it away, even if it's your mother's favorite heirloom. It's all about how it registers in the heart, in the soul. And the same thing is true of every action, every relationship, every task you undertake. Pick up every decision and say, what sparks joy? What liberates? What takes me into relief and relaxation? If you do that with tiny things, as you go through every single day, the trim tabs of your life begin to change. If you really do start letting go of thoughts that don't set you free, that don't spark joy, and you really start looking for the truth that's deeper down in you, that process begins to access more and more joy. It turns the trim tabs, it shifts you that one degree, and you don't really see it happening in small things, but as it adds up and you keep doing it and going back to it, and things get messed up and you clean them all and you get rid of what doesn't spark joy, soon you look around and you realize, oh my gosh, my life is growing so much bigger and everything's clear and my relationships are so loving now and I feel so at peace with everything. It just comes in wave after wave after wave. And you can use the same tools over and over and you get to the place Bridget talked about at the top of the hour, where you suddenly realize, oh my gosh, the world wants me to have a bigger space with more color, with more aliveness, with more abundance. And the most wonderful thing about it in the final analysis is that before any circumstance changes, you feel this integrity cleanse exploding all the pain in your heart and leaving the clear space of beauty, of connection, of the divine, really. And if you do it enough, everything clears away. And there's not even death that can make you afraid. You see that death is just another lie. And then going forward in life becomes playful and joyful and pure. And there's always another chance. There's always another bend in the river and a chance to do it all over again. So this is a bend in my river for doing this integrity cleanse course. And I have to go do my work because I'm going to miss you guys. I'm going to miss reading your stuff on Facebook. I'm going to miss coaching you. I'm going to miss feeling you on the phone. But that's just another, like, whoops, I just cleaned that up. I can feel you on the phone. I can feel you anytime. We are all one being. And as we get closer to our integrity, our souls start to overlap more and more tangibly. And the idea of separation is another lie that falls away. So thank you all so, so much for participating. Bridget, thank you for being my wing woman.
My pleasure.
Much joy to everyone as you go forward and your life first gets clear and then gets more beautiful and then becomes an infinite vastness of joy. Lots of love to all of you, and we'll hear from you later.